It's always a joy for me to be able to come and worship God and to be able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're certainly thankful for everyone's presence. We've been blessed with another gorgeous Lord's Day. And I do not see any visitors, but if I've overlooked you, we do appreciate your presence. Let's remember all of those that were mentioned that are unable to be here. Some may be traveling, others are just taking precautions. Some may be sick, but we do appreciate the presence of everyone today. As we journey on this road called life, we all are going to encounter what's known as obstacles. Figuratively, we might refer to them as giants. In other words, they're in our way of where we're trying to be. It might be the giant of worry. It might be the giant of doubt, of discouragement, of depression. It might be financial giants. Someone may be battling the giant of alcoholism or drugs or little faith. Or the giant of just overcoming sin. And oftentimes, what we find is how we handle these giants when we come across them on the road of life is determined a lot by our attitude. That's why sometimes when someone, you'll hear them say the phrase, "Oh, that's just a bump in the road." See, that's a person that has a good attitude. Others, it's a mountain that, no, they're never going to get across. In the Bible, we have a story of one who encountered his giant. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And I'm referring to David and Goliath. Since I was a young boy, I've always been intrigued with this story. And yet, when you look at this story, I'm intrigued with it because it defies all logic when you think about it. Imagine being there that day, and here's this over 9 foot giant, Goliath, getting ready to fight a young shepherd boy with a sling. Can you imagine anyone going, "I think the little fellow over there is going to win"? No, they wouldn't have said that. And yet, when he did, and it changed his entire life. Now, most of us are familiar with the story, but let's notice what the Bible says. In 1 Samuel 17, for time's sake, we don't have time to read all of this beautiful story, read parts of it. But we're told, starting in verse 3, "And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail or maul, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him." We're told in verse 8, "And he stood and he cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I Philistine and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." Verse 10, "And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of the Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And finally, he states in verse 11, "When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." What lessons can we learn from a young shepherd boy who overcame a giant on this particular day. I think there's several, but I just want to notice a few. First, I learned, like David, we must have confidence in God. When David's father had sent him, Jesse had sent him, to take food to his brothers. Apparently, David was too young to fight in Saul's army. So he's carrying food to his brothers. And he's a young man. He's been left at home to tend the flocks. And when he arrives, as we read, when David gets there, you have Israel's army on one side of the valley and the Philistines on the other. And we're told by the time David had gotten there, Goliath had been making this challenge 40 days. 40 days. And David arrives and he sees the armies of Israel. And by the way, he was running in fear with them. They were running in fear. But he was asking the question, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now Saul, if you know the story, he had promised two or three things to any man that could defeat this giant. He was going to give him one of his daughters to wife. He wouldn't have to pay taxes. David had repeated this or asked two or three times, and some of the soldiers had heard what David said, so Saul, it got to Saul. Now this has been going on for over 40 days. Saul calls for David. And listen to what David tells Saul. 1 Samuel 17, 32, he's through 37. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now I want you to pause there. Saul stood head and shoulders over every other Israelite. Remember that? That's one of the reasons he was, they thought, this is a king. Can you imagine him looking down at little David, the shepherd boy? And this is what he's telling him. I'll fight him. Verse 33, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Verse 36, we're told, then thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. So when you look at David, he knew he could succeed because he knew who God was. I want to submit to you Christians today, we need to have the attitude that David had. We need to have confidence. Too many times we lack confidence, don't we? In every area of our life. But confidence is needed in doing the Lord's work. There's much work to be done in the kingdom. And God doesn't need excuse makers. And that's what all of Israel and even Saul was, but not David. God wants people who are willing to trust in Him and have confidence in Him and do what He says. David had confidence in God. And there's no reason why we shouldn't have confidence in Him, because if we're Christians, we're His children, right? How did you feel about your parents if you were blessed to have godly parents, even if they weren't Christians? More than likely, they took care of you, didn't you? You had confidence in them. One of my first jobs when I was 19, I learned the value of having confidence. The main man in charge told me to go cut down a tree. And a friend of mine came over and said, where's the tree going to fall? I said, I don't have a clue. I cut down trees, but I couldn't tell you where it was going to fall. He said, well, he's fixed to come over here. Don't tell him you don't have a clue. You better tell him where that tree's going to fall. He wants to know. Sure enough, he came over there, and I cut the notches like you were supposed to, and I'm praying all the time, too. Please, Lord, let it fall over there. And he asked me, he said, where's the tree going to fall? He was testing my confidence. I'm just going to fall right over there. And I got close. Not dead center, but I got close. See, God expects us, who are His children, to have confidence in Him. Look back in your entire life at the age you are now. And I guarantee you that you can look back and see giants you faced that you didn't realize you were going to overcome, but you did with the help of God. We're His children. He wants us to win. He wants us to succeed. In fact, all of heaven is pulling for you and me. So I learned we need to have confidence like David, but I learned something else. I learned what Paul said. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. What an attitude. Talk about confidence. Especially coming, if you know anything about the life of Paul, who we're introduced to in Acts 8, is Saul, all he went through. Sometimes, do you ever feel like people mistreat you out in the world? Do you ever feel like that? They say mean things to you, they're not nice to you. Or maybe you're trying to do good to someone. You're trying to help them. I mean, if there was a fire down the road that had blocked the road and you saw your neighbors driving that way, wouldn't you try to warn them of the danger? We do that spiritually. We try to warn people. Sometimes they'll wrap their arms around your neck and thank you. But other times they don't. Because it's not what they want to do. It's not what they want to hear. And I think about Paul. Well, they stoned Paul. One time they let him out a window in a basket. Just read about all that Paul said was done to him. But he had confidence in God. And then when you look at David, we also need to recognize our limitations. Now David said he's going to fight Goliath. And when you get to verse 38 and 39, notice what Saul does. And Saul armed David with his armor. Now imagine, here's Saul, head and shoulders over any other man, a little shepherd boy. He puts his armor on David. He put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. Very wise of David to be so young. He didn't try to be something he wasn't. You know, the old expression in life, they'll tell you, fake it till you make it, like especially on a job. That doesn't always work on a job, does it? The time comes when you better know what you're doing. David knew his limitations. He knew he couldn't. The armor was too heavy. He hadn't trained with it. But he knew what he could do. He could use that sling. And when you read about shepherds such as David, it's amazing the size of the stones that they could throw. And humongous stones. It would kill you. If you think about getting hit in the head with this. But they were so accurate. It talked about how they could just hit flies. Now, I've never seen anybody do that, but I take it at what I've read. And David knew he could use that sling, so he rejected these things. He knew his limitations. Now, again, we today as Christians, it's not enough just to have confidence. We need to understand we have limitations. We have to be ourselves. God has given each of us abilities, hasn't He? He's made us all different. And I'm glad. I'm glad that we're all different. No matter where you go in any congregation, you're going to find that. We all have limitations. Sometimes our age causes limitations, doesn't it? Can't do what others do. It might be our biblical knowledge. It might be physical health. But we still can do something. I've known young people, I've known older people who all did something for the Lord. They did what they could. They were themselves. They didn't try to be something they weren't. It may be you can't sit down at a kitchen table and study with someone who's in a system of error to try to teach them the truth because you're not at that level of spiritual maturity yet. But you can be a little maid, like in 2 Kings 5, can't you? Remember what she said? I told Naaman, he heard about it. Well, if you were in Israel, the prophet there could heal you. He'd have never known if it hadn't have been for the little maid. I've owned people in wheelchairs. A good friend of mine had two of them like that. They still did things for the Lord. They had limitations, but they did what they could. Maybe you're bedridden. I know an individual who converted someone because they kept calling them on the phone. Another person who was elderly. This person couldn't get out of the bed. Had an affliction. Converted that person over the phone. By showing them the truth. So yes, we be ourselves. Use what God gives us. Do the best we can. Now when David, don't get the idea when David wouldn't accept this armor that later on in life, he limited himself to this. He simply knew that he couldn't defeat Goliath with Saul's armor. Now, most of us know the story of what happened, but let's rekindle our memories because it's beautiful to see. Here in verse 40 through 51, it says, "And he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him." We're told in verse 42, "And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog?" Remember, he's been hollering for over 40 days, "Send out your man." And they send out David. He said, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field." But notice what David's attitude was. Verse 45, "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day shall the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel." Can you imagine Goliath? He had probably been spoken to by other giants his size like that, but no one that small had probably ever said anything like that to him before. And in verse 47, we're told, "And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hands." And it came to pass, Goliath's had enough now, "when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, David hasted, ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it. and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him, cut off his head therewith. And the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. David is an example of someone who recognized his limitations, who knew what he had, and used it. And then I learned something else. Like David, we must develop ourselves. Now I mentioned David didn't use Saul's armor. He used a sling at this point in his life. But when you read on, that didn't mean the day didn't come when David had his own armor, his own shield, his own sword. A matter of fact, the reason he couldn't build the temple and Solomon could was because God said he was a man of war. David was a mighty warrior. He had mighty men that fought with him. The kingdom expanded. Some say he was Israel's greatest king during the United Kingdom. He united them together. Now, Christians today need to learn this lesson. We have to develop ourselves. I don't care which congregation you pick. This one, one in across town, another town, one in another state. Every person in that congregation is not a polished teacher. They're not. Everyone's not a polished song leader. Everyone's not a polished preacher. And on we could go. But you'll find people doing what they can. Now, God doesn't expect me to remain at that state. He expects me to develop. He expects you to develop. We start out as babes, don't we? But if all you know is what to do to be saved and you've just been baptized and become a Christian, you still can teach someone. You can tell them what you did. But God expects you to grow after that. A matter of fact, it's a command. In 2 Peter 3:18, sometimes we just read this real hastily and we forget it's a command. But grow in grace, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. God expects me to grow. He expects you to grow in every area of our life. That's what Christian life is about. Maturity, progress, development. In fact, if you look at that Greek word grow there, it means continuance. It means keep on doing it. It's a nonstop process. And we see this in every walk of life. When you see someone who has excelled at a sport or some type of instrument or something else in life, it's because they have repeatedly strived to get better. And we have to do the same thing. Because the more we use the abilities God gives us, the more opportunities He's going to give us. And we get better. I mentioned cutting down that tree. After that day, I got pretty good at cutting down trees. Did I ever get my saw stuck in a tree? Yes, I did. Had to go for help. But I still learned my lesson. I got better. Think about your own Christian knowledge. Do you know more now than you knew last month? Year ago? We should. 2 Peter, we studied this recently. Larry taught it on Wednesday night. 1:5-7, we're to add the Christian graces. Galatians 5:22-23, we're to add the fruit of the Spirit. You know, even on a job, when you get a job, you may not be very good at what you're doing, and they'll give you space of time, won't they? Like you have 90 days. And then after 90 days, they let you know whether they're going to keep you or not. What if God did that? You obey the gospel, he says, okay, you got 90 days, you better get on it. A lot of us have been out the door. But see, you're better at what you do because you excelled. You strive to get better. But not all Christians do that. In fact, the Hebrew writer, he told the ones he was writing to in Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, he said, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principalities, the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. God expects us to grow. Look at verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use has their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I don't know this morning what giants you may be facing in your life at this time. I'm sure we're all facing different giants. But I do know that David faced his giants and the things that I suggested to you. And it was with the help of God that he overcame that giant. And this wasn't the only giant David had to overcome figuratively in his life, if you read about his life. And you and I won't defeat giants in our life alone either. That's the beauty of being a Christian. Person who's on God's side, God is on that man's side. So if you're tired of fighting the giants of life, the giant of sin, and you're ready to get rid of it, just by faith, repent of your sins, be buried in the waters of baptism. The Lord will add you to the church. You'll be in Christ. You'll be one of his children. And then you just keep on keeping on doing the best you can until you leave this world. Because I'm going to tell you something. For Christians, our promised land, it's on the other side of giant land. Guarantee it. It's on the other side of giant land. And if God took care of David, he's going to take care of you and me as well. We're his children. So let us learn these lessons from David. And you'll never get to heaven, and you'll never defeat your giants in this life without Jesus. So, if you're not in Christ, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, I hope this morning that you'll come and give me your hand and give God your heart and start doing what God wants you to do, what God wants you to be. And then when the giants come, you won't be alone. You'll also have your brothers and sisters in Christ to help you. And then one day you'll receive a reward, heaven. That's why we sing the song, how beautiful heaven must be. If we can assist you in any way this morning, I hope that if your heart is open and it's been moved, that you'll do something about it. As Dustin leads us in this invitation song, we encourage you to come.